You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments in the case of Grants Pass versus Johnson, which has been called the most important case about homelessness in decades. The legal question revolves around whether unhoused people can be criminally punished for sleeping or camping outside, even if adequate shelter is not available. A decision in the case isn't expected for a few months later this year, but it could have major implications, especially when it comes to enforcement. And that is especially true here in California, where an estimated 180,000 people experience homelessness on any given night. Angela Hassel is the executive director of the nonprofit Loaves and Fishes and joins us now to talk about how this Supreme Court decision, what it could mean for the unhoused community in Sacramento. Good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for having me.
If you can start off by telling us about Loaves and Fishes and the service that you provide in Sacramento.
Absolutely. So Sacramento Loaves and Fishes, we provide homeless survival services for folks that are currently experiencing homelessness. So that can look like anything from a warm meal in our dining room, breakfast and lunch we serve on campus, showers, other hygiene supplies, mental health care. We have a whole range of services, including schooling for kids who are missing school due to homelessness and a lot of other support spaces as well.
And your nonprofit has been around for over 40 years.
Yeah, this is we had our 40th anniversary last year. This is 41. Yeah.
How many people are you serving approximately on, you know, either weekly or nightly?
Right. Yeah. So we kind of gauge a lot of that based on our noontime meal, and we're serving anywhere from 500 to 600 folks a day. But in terms of individuals that come through our campus on a yearly basis, in 2023, it was around 11,000 individuals, whether that's men, women, children, that used our services throughout the course of the year.
Throughout the course of the year.
Yeah.
I always go back to that point in time count, which happened following or during the pandemic, where it was a record number of people experiencing homelessness on any given night in Sacramento County. It was 9,000 plus on any given night. And those are usually a conservative estimate because people actually go out on foot to canvass the county to get a good idea of what homelessness looks like and how it's changing. What changes have you seen to the people that you are serving and helping in, you know, the 40 plus years that Loaves and Fishes has been around?
Yeah, you know, and some of those things kind of ebb and flow as the resources come in and out and as kind of some of the funding streams for those things change. I think right now what we're seeing is a lot more desperation, a lot more people that have been homeless for long periods of time, and then on the other end, a lot more folks just entering homelessness, whether they fell on hard times during the pandemic and kind of worked their way through some of their other resources. They're new to homelessness now. That kind of tends to happen with different crises throughout the years, but we're really seeing a lot of folks in very desperate situations right now.
Another point in time count was done in January. Those results are still forthcoming. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's going to be an improvement that we're going to see the numbers head in the right direction, as in decrease?
I hope so. I think I'm always very hopeful that's the way things are going to go. I know that the team that produced that study this year used a slightly different methodology than they have in the past, so it might kind of change some of the way the data looks. But I always appreciate the analysis that comes out with it that kind of gives us the history and the comparison of what that looks like. And I'm hoping that it goes down and that maybe at least it breaks even.
Mm. Let's now move to that Supreme Court case.
Sure.
We talked about it at length last week, but this could directly impact the services that you provide and also the people who you serve in Sacramento. Were you surprised that the Supreme Court took this case?
A little bit, yeah. You know, it's really... And some of the justices highlighted this in some of their questions, is that it's a policy question and something that, like, municipalities and law enforcement and cities kind of have the discretion to enforce and create the laws for that. So it's a little, for me, it was a little bit surprising, but at the same time, not surprising, because homelessness has gained such a spotlight throughout the pandemic, and our lack of affordable housing has really been on the hearts and minds of a lot of folks in Sacramento in particular lately. So it's also not surprising because it is such a current concern.
Yeah.
It isn't going away.
One at the heart of Grants Pass versus Johnson comes down to enforcement and being able to clear people who are sleeping outside or they're outside on public property. How do you think if, depending on the ruling, how, what kind of impact it could have in Sacramento?
You know, should the case go the way of the city of Grants Pass and these types of enforcement measures be more, be almost sanctioned at that level, it's going to really produce a lot of panic and fear amongst folks who are living unhoused. And these are folks who are human beings, just like the rest of us, that are on hard times and have sustained trauma, sometimes over really complex trauma over years. And when we don't, when we are in an affordable housing crisis and we don't have adequate numbers of new construction or new places that people can afford to rent coming online, it doesn't really help the situation to then be criminalized for that and, you know, put in jail for 30 days or whatever it is for sleeping outside in a tent in a place that is considered public property when there really is nowhere else to go.
Yeah. Cities and counties have also said that, you know, it's difficult to strike the right balance because you have incredibly vulnerable people who are housing insecure, but you also have your other constituents and residents who are concerned about public safety and or who are small business owners who say that they have been directly impacted, their livelihoods have been impacted because of homelessness. What is the right balance and what would you like people to think about when they are debating this internally?
Yeah, it is hard, and I understand some of those concerns. But at the same time, I also have to take into consideration that folks that are living unhoused are living every bit of their lives publicly. They don't have any privacy. They don't have anywhere to go for respite. They don't have a lot of spaces where they are welcomed. And that kind of, you know, if you are unwelcome every single place that you step foot in the course of your day, that can really harden folks and kind of create different attitudes and maybe a little bit more of those negative behaviors that we see. But at the end of it, it's a housing issue and it's a situation of not having enough safe, affordable housing for folks. And I think if we put more energy on that end of things and creating safe spaces for people to be and embraced more fully the housing first model, which I know has a lot of criticism and a lot of there are lots of opinions about that out there, but I really truly believe that if we provide for their fundamental rights, if we give them food, if we give them shelter, if we give them a safe place to be, some of those other things we will see decrease. But it's going to take time. It's going to take patience, and it's going to take time. And there's not going to be any quick fix to this. And jail time is not going to help us either.
Yeah. At the crux of this as well, for not everyone, but for, I think, a significant number of people experiencing homelessness, there is are individuals who are suffering from mental health or behavioral health issues, addiction. And it's been criticized that there's not enough services for everybody as well. Have you seen that change in Sacramento?
You know, we do see a lot of folks that struggle with those things because those are pretty common coping mechanisms. Substance abuse is often a coping mechanism. I know sometimes I go home and have a drink after work at the end of the day. It's not weird, but I don't have to do it on the streets. It's just a little different. And there are service gaps for those things. And I think that, you know, there's a strong stigma with mental health and receiving treatment for mental health. And if we could find a way to provide housing first and work on those things once folks have some stability underneath them, I think we would see far greater success. And I think we'd see more people accessing those services.
Where have you seen the biggest strides of success in Sacramento?
In terms of
responding to homelessness and helping people?
Yeah. You know, I think there are a lot more eyes on this situation right now. And I think there's a lot of folks talking about how to help and what does help and what is helpful. And I think in some of those conversations, that's where we need to start. You know, I think there are a lot of organizations doing really good work to work towards more sustainability for folks. And I think it's going to take all of us to enter that conversation to produce more results. And it's going to take all of us pushing where we can.
On an individual level, what can people do if they want to help loaves and fishes?
Yeah. You know, donating is always a great option. I'd be a bad nonprofit executive if I didn't mention that. But, you know, donating, whether that is in-kind items, things like bottled water, toilet paper, tents, tarps, things that keep people safe and provide for their essential needs, or money. But then there's also volunteering and just keeping these conversations going, you know, to keep learning, keep challenging, keep questioning yourself, keep questioning others, around a lot of our misconceptions around poverty and homelessness and humanity. And remember that at the end of it all, we're talking about human beings and their lives. They're not things, they're not objects, they're people, and they're real, and they have hopes and dreams just like the rest of us, and just not necessarily the space right now to explore those. But as a community, we're called to provide for each other and support each other and above all of each other. And that's, you know, that's where we can start. And that's not nothing.
Yeah. If someone wants to donate essentials, the ones that you listed, can they go to Loaves and Fishes any day, or is there a certain time?
Absolutely. Yeah. Our warehouse is open for donations Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. So anytime there, online donations, obviously all the time. And then we do accept things like Amazon deliveries and things like that.
Since the temperature is getting warmer, we're obviously getting to summer, are there needs particular to that season, to that time of year?
Water is one of our biggest things this time of year, keeping folks cool and hydrated in the summer. So things like water, toilet paper is also a big one this time of year, and things like tents and tarps that just give people a little bit of respite from the heat sometimes. Yeah.
Angela, thank you for stopping by.
Thank you so much for having me.
Angela Hassel is the executive director of Loaves and Fishes, which provides survival services to unhoused people across Sacramento. And we've been talking about the services that this nonprofit provides and the possible impact of a Supreme Court decision in the case of Grants Pass versus Johnson, which is expected later this year. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.